Desert in the great American Southwest. I bid you all good evening or good morning, wherever you may be, in this great land of ours. It's great to be here. From the Tahitian and Hawaiian Islands out west, eastward to the Caribbean and the U.S. Virgin Islands, south into South America, north all the way to the pole, and worldwide on the Internet, this is Coast to Coast AM. I'm Art Bell, and I guess I ought to catch you up on a few little things right now. I'd like to welcome KQNG this night. They're 570 on the dial. Now, I may get in trouble on this. It's either Luhi, Hawaii, is probably correct. Somebody call me and tell me which it is. They're taking the show from 8 o'clock Hawaiian time till 3 in the morning. So, wherever you are, I assume this is on the main island. Good evening to you. Grand to have you on board. I want to give you a little bit of an update of what's coming up in the, actually, rather immediate future. Tomorrow night, instead of having a replay, we're going to have Barbara Simpson, who's been highly entertaining for our audiences on the weekend. You may or may not have heard her yet, but you're going to want to listen for her tomorrow night. She's good, and she's going to be talking with a guest. We'll be talking about the ancient wisdom in Egypt. And there's a lot of ancient wisdom that we don't understand in Egypt. She will discuss Egyptology and so forth. Actually, she has a book, Messengers Among the Star Stones and Legends and Ancient Wisdom Dwells. Kind of rolls off the lips nicely. Now, let me promo what's going to happen next week. Tuesday night, Wednesday morning, Dr. Pearl is going to be here. And this doctor suggests that dormant receptor sites in our bodies are being activated. And he asks by whom and what for. He is a full-fledged doctor. And so that should be really interesting. Receptor sites in our body being activated, huh? Old things coming back as new. And then Wednesday night, Thursday morning, in the third hour of the show, guess who's going to be here? George Carlin. And I've been a fan of George Carlin all my life. My adult life, anyway. And he's kind of a fan of the show, and so he called and said, sure it'd be fun to be on. I said, yeah, I think it'd be fun, too. So he said, so what the F are we going to talk about? A line which sets me up. I said, I don't know. He said, good. So I have no idea what we'll talk about. Probably a lot of the subjects you hear on the program anyway. And then on Thursday night, Friday morning, Ed Dames is going to be here. Dr. Doom, Ed Dames. And that should be a very, very interesting program, as always. Now, I have news for you regarding the first of the year, or the last of the year, really, into the first. I am going to be on the air Friday night, Saturday morning, December 31st. I have now decided at 7 o'clock Pacific time, 7 o'clock in the evening. Moreover, I am going to have Gordon Michael Scallion here at 7 o'clock. And he's going to break it into 30-minute segments, and we're going to cover what's coming in Indonesia on New Year's Eve. So you're not going to want to miss that as we roll through the various time zones. Bring in the New Year. I don't think there's going to be a problem, by the way. I am convinced there is not going to be a problem. That night, the problem I look for will occur, I think. There may be some, but I think the real problems will occur if they're coming on the first business day back after the New Year. That's when I think the problems are going to become apparent. And that would be what? I have a calendar. The third or fourth or something like that. So, we'll see. Now, the Egypt air flight that went down, there is now seemingly Star Trek, and then back up again to 23,000 feet of thrust disaster in midair at all. So if this radar is correct, then I don't think it can be the thruster having deployed by accident. Actually, I don't know what the hell it could be. And the authorities have no idea either. The killer in Seattle is still on the loose, and by now I'm sure he's gone. If they don't have him by now, I doubt they're going to get him unless he turns himself in. The killer in Hawaii has been given bail. $7 million bail. So I guess he's not going anywhere. In a moment, we're going to hear a couple of words from Richard C. Hoagland. And Richard will kind of update us on a few things that might be pending, I guess we could put it that way. All right, as soon as I have my little sound, it's Richard C. Hoagland. Coming up, as I said, at the top of the hour, it's Dr. Gary E.R. Well, I guess I didn't say it. E.R. Schwartz. And he has, if you saw the movie, which I didn't, The Sixth Sense, what we're going to do relates to that in a way. It's going to be about the afterlife. He is an assistant professor of medicine, co-director of the Human Energy Systems Lab. I mean, this is a heavyweight who is going to be talking about what comes next. And they're doing a scientific approach to it, so it should be a rather interesting. That'll be at the top of the hour. Right now, and I guess I'm going to have to be careful how I introduce him, he was a one-time advisor to NASA. He was a one-time advisor to Walter Cronkite, during the exciting years of our space program. He has won an Engstrom Science Award. He is Richard C. Hoagland, and he's in New Mexico. Richard, hi.
Good morning, Art.
Good morning. I just wanted to bring you on, Richard, to give people an update on a couple of things. The rumored infamous now date of November 7th is close.
Very.
And so, any changes, updates, or what?
Well, you know, this has been the most difficult thing that I think we have ever undertaken, because unlike science, where the universe doesn't try to hide the furniture under the bed, you're dealing in a world here of spooks, disinformation, lies, half-truths, egos.
In other words, you're dealing with a crowd in Washington.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And in this case, we've been literally dealing with some folks in Washington. And even people who are of impeccable credentials and are plugged in, they can be part of a disinformation campaign to lead everybody else in the wrong direction. This has not been easy, not the least of which is I have a stack of faxes and other things up to and including from staff members of Congress that have come in asking where should they be on Sunday, November 7th. And it's a damn overwhelming responsibility.
Have you written back to most of them and said Manitoba?
Very funny, Art. All right. this is very serious because, as you know, this began with our looking closely at that videotape that the Millennium Group had put on their website.
Yes.
From the NASA shots in Turkey of the eclipse.
Yes, when objects were sighted.
Yeah. Now, we have come to the conclusion, and this has not been easy, because getting, you know, good copies and high signal to low noise copies of that video has been not easy. But we have done it, finally, and we have analyzed what's on these images, and we have come to the conclusion that the objects recorded on that camera were, in fact, flash bulbs and light pole stanchions in a cutaway shot of the crowd taken just before totality itself.
Oh.
Which means the foundation of any calculations or any intelligence officers calling us up anonymously and claiming that there were objects coming and that we're going to reach here on the 7th has a very suspicious, if non-existent, foundation.
Oh, well, good.
And as part of the science of this, we have got to report what we find out when we find it out. And we're in the process now of preparing for publication before Saturday a full analysis of what we have been doing.
So that'll be up on your
website. That will be up on the website.
All right.
Notwithstanding that that lead turned out to be false.
Well, look, light poles can hit you any time.
Only if you were standing in that field in Turkey. What this investigation led us into, serendipitously, was a morass of something, frankly, much deeper and I think far more, in the long term, significant.
Or insidious.
Well, it's certainly insidious. It's complex. It has multiple levels. It has multiple power groups who are apparently at war with each other and using us and using you and using other media as a way to wage that war and to lead people in the wrong direction.
Well, I was convinced, Richard, that the disinformation folks wanted to lead me into a trap on this November 7th thing, so I intentionally said, I think it's nothing but a big bad rumor.
Well, and you have to do that, but you also have to work like hell to find out if it's not just a big bad rumor.
That's true.
The fact is that the torrid stream, which we enter on Saturday,
right,
and enter every year on November the 6th and cross and leave on the 15th, and then enter again in June.
Yeah, the peak of it is going to be like 17th or 18th.
Well, that's the Leonids. That's a different meteor stream. And those, if you're a satellite upstairs, you're vulnerable because these are tiny little flecks of sand. The big guys, the ones that can cause damage down on the ground that could hit with the impact of 30, 40, 50, 100 megaton nuclear weapons and cause tidal waves, which was the primary concern, those lurk in the torrid stream. Now, from our analysis of this NASA pattern, this so-called ritual alignment Egyptian pattern, it's incredibly ironic that tomorrow night you have someone on discussing the ancient lore of Egypt, because the pattern has these fingerprints all over it of the ancient lore of Egypt as practiced by some folks, you know, within this government who have control of, for instance, NASA missions and NASA launches and their arrivals.
Right.
That pattern is all over this next month in terms of potential events. The problem is we cannot determine as of tonight what the events are going to be. I am sitting here looking at a piece of newsprint faxed to me by a reader from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel for Friday, October 22nd. We've been looking, among other things, at curious call-ups of reservists and guards people around the country.
Now, why would they be calling up the guard?
Including in Washington. It turns out that they have these annual drills, and they bring in people from around the country to train with other units and other guard divisions.
I know, but they also, Richard, before every war we have, you know, they always have deployments to those particular hotspot areas, and they always say, oh, this has been planned for 2.5 years now, Operation so-and-so.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's one going on in Egypt, even as we speak, which has not been mentioned at all in connection with the Egyptair, you know, tragedy. There's an operation called Bright Star. There was a photograph on the cover of Jane's Weekly, the famed defense journal,
right,
showing B-1s and a whole flotilla of aircraft from six other nations. There are 11 nations participating with us in this exercise. They're storming the beaches at Alexandria. They're doing mock, routines out in the desert of Egypt. And you have not seen one frame or heard one word about this simultaneous with the coverage of whatever happened to Flight 990. And this, of course, was attacked by Gaddafi. It was attacked by Saddam Hussein as provocative, as aimed against them and, you know, their nations. And as a reason for terrorism, this would make one hell of a good reason, but for some curious reason, it hasn't been mentioned at all that activity is going on tonight, even as we're having this conversation. It's called Bright Star.
Bright Star.
Anyway, I'm sitting here looking at this Milwaukee Journal Sentinel article, which says that Waukesha County is staging a mock bioterrorist attack beginning November 6th. It's called Operation Wake Up Call. And federal and local officials will embark on the first of its kind in the nation disaster drill. It's built around a mock anthrax attack, which, of course, mirrors exactly what Nightline did several weeks ago.
That's right.
For five solid nights.
Right.
So as we're looking at this November 7th event, and remember, everybody, we got this November 7th event from an anonymous caller that called in the day after you and I had discussed what was on this Eclipse video. And that was the only solid source of that date.
And that's reason for immediate suspicion. The rest of it was all internet rumor.
Well, we do have our NSE source, who we have talked to. You know, I talked to him just earlier this evening. There is interesting and curious and rather remarkable behavior of police agencies, of the FBI, of, as I said...
Well, the FBI is doing a kind of a weird thing anyway, Richard. They have this, and I forget the operational name...
Called Operation Megiddo.
Megiddo, thank
which
you.
Which is Armageddon.
Right, which means groups and even individuals who are intent upon bringing on Armageddon and will use the year switch or the millennium switch to pull their little switch.
Well, that's according to the literature, the 32-page booklet.
That's
they actually
right.
had a quiet, you know, behind the closed doors briefing of police chiefs from around the country in North Carolina on Tuesday of this week on Operation Megiddo. What is pretty astonishing is that we have now discovered an amazing link between the crash of this Egypt Air Flight 990 and Operation Megiddo itself. And when we're ready, which is in the next couple of days, we're going to publish this. We're working on it right now. And then I'll come back on and I will lay out, point by point, some amazing, solid information, actual, verifiable information, not rumors, not internet gossip,
right.
but real data, that points us in the direction that something is, in fact, being planned.
All right, Richard.
It will happen sometime in the future, not on Sunday, November 7th.
Well, that's good news. Hold on, Richard. We'll do a little more. I'm Art Bell. This is Coast to Coast AM. Yeah, it is. How many of you remember this? Can you name the artist? Don't touch that dial.
Don't you give up, baby. Don't you cry. Don't you give up, baby. Reach the other side. I don't need you, baby. I couldn't believe the night that you feel.
You're listening to the Twin Cities Talk Station, AM 1500 KSTP.
This song. I mean, she's just wailing.
To reach Art Bell in the Kingdom of Nye from west of the Rockies, dial 1-800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 1-800-825-5033. First-time callers may reach Art at 1-775-727-1222 or use the wildcard line at 1-775-727-1295. To reach Art on the toll-free international line, call your AT&T operator and have them dial 800-893-0903. This is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell on the Premier Radio Networks.
Well, good day to you all. Richard C. Hoagland is here right now trying to catch us up on what's going on or maybe not going on, depending on your point of view. I'm led to understand now that I really screwed up. It's Lihua. No, Lihue. The news radio station we have. Which is KQNG 570 on the dial, is in Lihue, Hawaii, which is actually not on the Big Island at all, but on the other side of the chain, it's on Kauai. So we missed that by many, many miles. any hard names like that to pronounce. Anyway, good morning to you all there and everywhere else for that matter. In a moment, I do want to ask Richard about the Egypt Air flight. I was all set. I really believed it was the thrust reverser. The Chicago Sun Tribune did a very convincing article with regard to the thrust reverser problem, which I got up early on the fateful day. And then later, there was suddenly word that they had written up the thrust reverser and disabled it. But now comes radar data that throws everything up in the air. So I wanted to ask Richard a little bit about that. And we will do that in a moment. Chances of quitting improve with several linebacker types who would keep you tied in a chair for about a week and feed you vegetables only. All right, back to Richard C. Hoagland. Richard, I do want to ask you about the Egypt Air tragedy. I was all set to believe thrust reverser. Everything pointed that way. Now a new radar track showing 33,000 feet down to 16, then back up to about 23, and then boom, down to the sea. All in forward motion, and that doesn't add up to thrust reverser at all.
Well, it...
So what does it add up?
Aerodynamically, it doesn't, because if you had, remember, on the right side of the aircraft, the thrust reverser we now know was pinned.
Right, disabled.
So it could not deploy.
Right, and if one had, it would have gone into a twirl.
It would have gone into a spiral.
Yep.
It would have flown over on its back. It would have done a death spiral down to the ocean. They could not have recovered. It looks again from, and I saw there were like 6 or 7 radar stations ranging from Maryland all the way up to Maine that were part of this radar track analysis that the NTSB released last night.
Right.
That's pretty convergent and overlapping data. In other words, you don't have just one radar ground station. You've got over half a dozen.
All right. Well, let's, for the
Which
sake of the conversation, assume that it's correct.
And it's not skin track.
Okay, but
this
what?
Was of the transponder. This
I
was
understand.
Of the electronic
yep, yep,
onboard
yep, yep. Gotcha.
Echoing system.
I got you. But what does it mean?
Well, it means that something attacked that aircraft from... Now, don't take me wrong when I say this, but from inside. This is an airplane that is flown by computers. In the modern era, if you want to sabotage an airplane and make it look like an accident, attack the computers. The thing that I am hoping they're going to do, besides bringing up the black boxes, is get the avionics from this aircraft to see what happened in those computers. Because if it was terrorism... And again, I point to Bright Star going on with no mention at all in the press at all. That would have been a much more elegant way to, quote, leave no fingerprints, to make it look as if it was just mechanical failure.
Could an airplane be hacked?
Well, you'd have to have somebody either with a very sophisticated onboard expertise, you know, who got on board.
Yes.
And this plane sat for 4 hours at LAX for unexplained reasons. We know from previous... FAA simulations. When Miss Garvey was running around the country, the investigator,
yes,
for the NTSB, we know that security at many of these airports is not what it's cracked up to be. That a contractor's badge gets you onto an airplane all by yourself. So it wouldn't take much time, if you knew what you were doing, to reprogram the computers so that the poor guys at a certain time, at a certain altitude, suddenly they find they're not in control of their aircraft. This looks to me, and again, I'm talking now from conversations with Boeing people who are part of our enterprise family, that something happened to the computers. The aircraft went into a steep dive, almost supersonic.
So in other words, yeah, they said it almost broke the sound barrier. So there's no way, which means it was a power dive.
It was a power dive with the engines full on operating normally.
Is there no way for the pilot to take a 767 and disable it from the computer and fly it?
Well, remember, you're dealing now with what are called fly-by-wire systems, meaning you don't fly them mechanically. You don't fly them with wires.
Yeah, but some sort of essential emergency override bypassing the...
We are in the process. This is why I didn't want to really get into this too much tonight. We're in the process of investigating with those folks who know the avionics on the 767.
Right.
Exactly the modality, how this might be done. We have additional information, and I think Mike talked to you this afternoon, that indicates that there may have been an outside electronic attack on this aircraft, and we think we can substantiate that.
All right, then I'll tell you what. We'll leave it there, Richard, and when you get more on that, I will expect more from you.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, my friend.
Well, for everyone who's on the East Coast, I think you can breathe easy tonight. For a variety of reasons, I think we have been misled about November 7th.
Uh-huh.
But I think the month between November 7th and December 7th, we're going to be in for some pretty interesting events. And we'll have more to say about that
next week.
Sure,
you're right about that. All right, good. I'll look forward to it. Thank you, Richard, and good night. All right, so December 7th, that was last year. November 7th, then, is, as I portrayed it to you, Rumor City, and there's nothing really expected to occur. Now watch it, Will. Let's see, November 3rd, this story filed. When the Leonid meteor shower strikes on the morning of November 18th, our planet, Earth, will not be the only place in the crosshairs. Also in the crosshairs, our moon. It's going to pass right through the debris stream of Comet Temple-Tuttle. Here on Earth, space-borne meteoroids will plummet into the atmosphere, burn up, creating streaks of light called meteors. The vast majority of them will burn and disintegrate well before they hit ground. Few may not. The situation on the moon, where there is no appreciable atmosphere, is now very different. Every bit of comet debris that rains down on our satellite will hit its surface. Some meteor enthusiasts hope that will create a different sort of display. Rather than streaks of light in lunar sky, you would look for flashes of light on the moon's surface every time a sizable meteoroid hits the ground. So, you might want to be looking at the moon, too, and see if you see anything up there. Now, after last night's show, I got a lot of stuff like this from Philadelphia and elsewhere. G-Art finally noticed that every time you do a show on contrails, there is no contrail activity in this neck of the woods here in Philadelphia for the next day or two. We generally have nice, clear, blue skies thereafter. Do you think they are listening? By the way, since I record 100 minutes beginning at hour two, I went to the archives to hear the rest of the show, and guess what? Last night's contrail show is unavailable. Makes one think that something is up. Well, I don't know. They might have just missed it. From Grant, Nebraska, for all of you who think that dog is man's best friend, listen to this story. Joseph Cameron Tiffany doesn't need any enemies. Tiffany of Littleton, Colorado, is recovering in a Denver hospital after being shot by his dog. His dog, Samson. Authorities confirm that the golden retriever did, in fact, pull the trigger on his owner, but it apparently was an accident. The Perkins County Sheriff's Office said that Tiffany, 39, was out hunting near Grant, Nebraska on Saturday. He left his gun lying on the ground. Samson, the dog, stepped on the gun, released the safety, and pressed the trigger. The gun discharged and hit Tiffany in the foot. Tiffany is now awaiting surgery on his foot and could lose at least two toes and a small part of the foot itself. Sad. Very sad. And then this. A 12-year-old German boy baked his dead pet mouse in a microwave oven and described the animal's meltdown live on a popular Berlin radio call-in show. According to a German newspaper on Thursday, he said, quote, "It's starting to swell, and oh no, it's sort of bursting apart." The boy named Stefan said in a live broadcast, "Yikes, the eyes just popped off. And there's blood coming out of it. Poor mouse. I'm going to turn it off now." People wrote in saying, "Stop this disgusting show." Others pointed out that the mouse was already dead, and it's no different than cooking a raw piece of meat.
Stefan explained that his pet mouse, Blackie, had died suddenly before, just before he offered to cremate it in the microwave for live radio. So it was freshly dead. He had one problem. He tried to clean the microwave out before his mom got home, but he didn't get to all of the remains. His mom found many of them, and Stefan is in big, big-time trouble, as you might imagine. Poor taste. Why would you run that live on the radio? I mean, we all know what happens when you put something in a microwave oven. Just, you know, anything that was a pet. All right, we're going to take some calls here, live, unscreened, uncensored, for the most part, calls. And then at the top of the hour, we're going to talk to a doctor who has been doing actual scientific research into essentially life after life, or whether consciousness continues. Hard scientific data. It should be very, very interesting. Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Hello. Hello. Going once.
Hello, Art.
Yes, there you are.
On these wonderful digital cellular phone here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you.
You said you were going to have Aunt Dames on next.
Yes, next week.
Okay. You're breaking up, and I'm going to have to let you go. Sorry.
All right. See you later. Now, I'm telling you, mankind has taken a giant step in reverse. What idiot developed digital cellular phones and then made them sound like crap? I mean, why would they release? There ought to be some kind of consumer mass action we could all take. I own a couple of digital phones, too, and they sound like, you know, crap. I mean, if they were not ready to properly move into the digital world, then they should have stayed analog until they got it right. But no, they sold us millions of these pieces of crap that sound like they're a throwback to, I mean, if Bell had told Watson to come into the other room and it sounded like that, he probably wouldn't have continued. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello. Well, that was another. There, see? There was another one. That was a trucker somewhere, and obviously we lost him, or he lost the cell site just as he went on the air, punctuating my point. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi. Hello. Going once, going twice, gone. International Line, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hi, Art. It's Eric calling from Winnipeg, Manitoba, or formerly known as Ground Zero.
Yes, sir.
Happy to hear that it's all just a rumor, but...
Hold on a sec. Let me, there, we got rid of the echo. Yep, that's right. We think it's rumor, but, geez, you know, let's see, the 7th, I'm not going to be on the air on the 7th.
Yeah.
Too bad, because I could get you on the phone, and we could be on the phone.
Just to see what happens.
Just, yeah, and then when we heard the screeching sound of your phone melting.
No, I don't, I'm quite glad. I live in the southern Manitoba, so it's...
It wouldn't matter.
Yeah. Well, 150 megaton would cover quite a large area.
It absolutely would, yes.
Yeah. I just wanted to call and mention, there was some interesting article I saw about they discovered some fossilized remains of some kind of rhinoceros-type animal up in the far high Arctic.
Oh, no, it's a woolly mammoth, and they plan on cloning it.
No, I meant a huge rhinoceros dating back 45 million years, but in the high Arctic.
Oh, 45.
And they also found... it's also on the same island in which they found these fossilized forests, the tree stumps, dating back 40 or 60,000 years ago, and something like cypress trees that are normally found in swampland. They even found fossilized remains of alligators and so on. It shows that, and this is talking the high Arctic we're talking about.
Right.
And if they found those sorts of, and these trees are like, well, only 40,000, 60,000 years old. They're frozen in the ground, just the tree stumps and the root system.
Right.
Remain. And that sort of indicates that there was some kind of a swamp-like atmosphere there, or a very warm climate at one time. And it's quite interesting, and I don't know whether you've ever heard about that or not.
No, this is the first. I knew about the woolly mammoth, which is in apparently fairly pristine condition, but No, 40 or 50 million year old fossils.
No, the tree is only 40 or 60,000 years old.
Oh, 40 or 60,000
years old. So that's not, that's relatively recent when you think
of it. Oh, it is. I thought you said million. I'm sorry.
Well, the dinosaur, the rhinoceros fossils were 45 million years old. And that of the alligators and some other type of creatures that are normally found in swampland, they're 45 million years old.
Gotcha.
But the trees are much more recent in relative terms, so they must have been clipped off by icebergs or something, glaciers, and just the stumps were left behind.
So when a big shift occurs, I wonder, who is going to be the new Arctic?
I have no idea. Should be interesting to find out.
Probably Pahrump, Nevada. It's gone. So do you, that obviously means at some past point there was a gigantic shift in the Earth.
It could very well be, yes. Or the circulation or the temperature must have been radically different from what it is now.
Very, very, very different.
Oh, yeah.
And if there was no Arctic, then the world must have been mostly water.
Well,
unless there was some Arctic at another point on Earth.
Well, you see, right now at the moment, the Arctic is actually rebounding. The land I'm sitting on right now is rising at about a rate of about 4 inches a year.
Better than sinking.
Yeah, but they say the southern part of the continent, more closer to where you are, is actually sinking.
Well, I'm sinking?
Well, not where you are, perhaps a little further south. Much further south.
Pretty far south. How far south?
I think probably south in, as in south of South Dakota, maybe Missouri or south of
I'm
that.
I'm south of that. Don't you know where I am?
Oh, no, you're further west.
No, listen, I'm closer to Los Angeles than just about anything else. Las Vegas, if you look at a map, I'm
you'd so, be rising.
No, I'm sinking. According to what you just said, I am sinking, and I'm.
No, I think that part is probably rising because of plate tectonics. But I know the first fact that they commented.
Well, okay, in that case, I'd be a brand new mountain here, is what
when
I'd be.
I see my baby.
Music of the millennium.
Do I see?
Anybody remember this one?
Oh, a tree. Poetry in motion.
We'll be right back.
Motion. Walking by my side. Her lovely locomotion. Keeps my eyes open wide. Poetry in motion.
Hi, this is Roger of Magus Force.